Welcome to our Defining Tanya Shear. We're holding in Ace Base. And last time, I think we learned about Bittul Yesh, the difference in Bittul Yesh and Bittul Metzias. And today we're going to go on and understand three different Madregas in Bittul. If you remember last time, one of the things that we emphasized was that the word Bittul has got a very bad rap, and it doesn't in any way refer to becoming a shmata. In fact, it refers to becoming infinitely powerful. It just means letting go of your own independent sense of fragmented self. That's really what bittul means, which means if you let go of your own fragmented self, and you connect with the power of the Ribbono Shel Olam, or the agenda of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then you transition from actually being pathetic and finite to being fabulous and infinite. So this is actually what we're going to speak about right now, is in chapter chapter 11 maybe. Of the Tanya, chapter 11. So the actually it's in chapter sorry chapter 9. The Lubavitcher Rebbe discusses, it says in chapter 9, three levels of Bittul, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe gives an amazing analogy to help us understand these different levels of Bittul. I'm sure we've definitely spoken about this in classes in the past, in our Tanya classes, but it's a really good thing to get clear. It's very simple to remember. In the Tanya, he talks about, he says, the fight between the Nefesh HaKis and the Nefesh HaBahamis. The Nefesh HaKis wants to dominate the entire goof, that all of the limbs will be Sarin Mashmasa. It will be how do you translate that? Obedient to the command, okay? Batalim Etzel Gamrei, totally nullified to it, and a Makovrela, and a chariot, okay? So these three levels, which is basically, you could call it obedient, nullified, and a chariot. And the mashal that the Rebbe gave was of the brain, the internal organs, and the limbs, the actual limbs of the body. Okay, the first level, which is the lowest level of bittul, which is still an amazing accomplishment, is the level of the brain. The brain has its own agenda. You're thinking this, you're thinking that. You're not in control of your brain. Your brain is going wherever it wants to go. To get in control of that is a very big avoider, a tremendous avoider, to get in control of your really to get in control of your thinking. It is possible. But Bederech Klal, regular people, their minds, their brains, their thinking processes are running continuously. But when you want your mind to you, when you want to use your mind, when you want to sit down and read a book, when you want to watch a movie, when you want to learn something, when you want to be there for someone, your brain stops what it was doing and it's now there for this person. So that's a great example for that is when I was a photographer, the assistant that you have all different kinds of assistants. And one of the Sugei assistants, one of the types of assistants, is the guy who's there on his telephone. He's on his phone, and the minute you need him, he drops the phone immediately. It goes in his pocket extremely quickly, and he's there for you 100%. Okay, so he has his own agenda, but he puts his agenda to the side when your agenda pops up. That's the level of the brain. That's the lowest level of Bittul, where you have an agenda, but you put your agenda to the side when Hashem's agenda shines. When Hashem's agenda is obvious, You put your agenda to the side. That's the lowest level of BITL, and that is a tremendous accomplishment. Okay. Now there's the next level of BITL, which is kind of an interesting thing. That's the BITL. The first BITL is the BITL of the brain. The second BITL is the BITL of the heart. Okay, or any of the internal organs. The heart pumps. That's what a heart does. So you can potentially take the heart out of one person and stick it in another person, and it will keep pumping. So the heart has an agenda. It pumps. That's what it does. Now, when it's in the right place and connected in the right way in your goof, well, it's super happy, and you could call that bottle, meaning it has an agenda, but its agenda is in line with the agenda of the body. That's the next level of BITL, meaning it has its own agenda, but its own agenda is linked in with the agenda of the body. And therefore, in a sense, it doesn't have its own individual agenda because its agenda is aligned with the agenda of the body. But it has an agenda because if you were to take it out of the body, it would keep pumping, just like, a good example of this would be like I have a friend in LA who's a musician. He has an advertising agency that creates music. And he has a whole bunch of musicians who work for him. And I can imagine, I mean, not can imagine, these musicians, that's their life. They love music. Musicians love music, yeah? So they're getting to use their love, their passion in my friend's business. So that, in a sense, is they're there, like they're early in the morning, and they're there working until late at night. But it's not really because they're so dedicated to my friend, is that they love making music, and now they have a place to do that. And it happens that the place wants them and needs them to be making the music. So that's like a BITL. That's a deeper BITL. You could argue this out, okay? But you understand the idea. Yeah? You could argue out which is a deeper BITL, the BITL of the brain or the BITL of the heart. It's more like the brain kind of is more working on the BITL, whereas the heart is not really working on the BITL, but it is more BUTTL. That's the difference. But the basic way of understanding it is the brain is the lowest level of BITL, then the heart is the next level of BITL. I suppose if you wanted to say that the heart is more BUTTL than the brain, you would say that the person has accustomed himself to Avodas Hashem. He's worked hard, and he has educated, not educated. He's habituated himself to Avodas Hashem. So, when a woman walks down the street, he doesn't really have to exert any energy. He just immediately wants to look away. He doesn't have that taiva anymore. Or when it comes to shachris, the guy jumps out of bed because he enjoys shachris. He loves shachris. He runs to shachris. That's the same idea. That's the idea that you've habituated yourself to the point where your ratzon is in line with Hashem's ratzon. That's the bittul of the heart. Okay, and that's called batalim eleh legamrei. And then we have the final level, which is called markava eleh. A markava means that you have no agenda. A markava is a vehicle. So Yitzi can look out of his window right now and see that hopefully your car is just sitting there in the drive, yeah? And it's not doing anything. And it will never do anything until you sit yourself in it and turn it on and decide to drive it. Meaning your car, unless your wife takes it, but your car is completely nullified to you. That's called a markava. That means it has no agenda whatsoever. Only when your will fills it or motivates it, does it actually do anything. The brain is doing its own thing, yeah? And the minute you want to use it, the brain stops and is with you. The heart is doing its own thing, but the heart's own thing is linked in with your own thing. The limbs, the hands, they just hang by your side until you need them. They have no agenda. And that's higher than the heart because when the hand doesn't see, all the heart can do is pump. But what about when Hashem needs the heart to filter blood as opposed to pump it? Heart can't do that. You have to get the kidneys involved in that one. The person who's a Merkava, whichever way it goes, whatever the Bojo needs from me, you need me to be soft with my children, I'll be soft with my children. You need me to be hard with my children, I'll be hard with my children. You need me to buy my whatever you want. It's not about my nature, it's not about my, I've got no agenda. I'm not invested in, there's just your agenda. So that's the gender, that's the level of my cover. Okay. And that's the three lists. So we remember that by there's the brain, then there's the heart, or you could call that the internal organs. Let's say the heart. You've got the brain that has its own agenda, that gives up its own agenda when the agenda of the organism is miss pipes up. Then you have the agenda of the heart, which is in line with the organism. So the organism never needs to trump the heart's agenda. The heart is aligned, the heart's agenda is aligned with the agenda of the organism. And then you have the agenda of the limbs, let's just say the hands, for example, where they have no agenda. And they only are activated when the agenda of the organism is active. Okay, so that's the three levels of bittul. So we've now discussed bittul. We discussed bittul yesh and bittul b'metzias last year, and now we just discussed these three levels. Yeah, Michael.
You started this year with three terms, the third one being Merkava. What were the first two?
So the first thing, don't forget, this is that you won't really find this in like any like other terminology. It's just it's a specific vort that the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave on chapter 9 in Tanya. The first one is called Sarim lemashmasa. Sarim means like ministers, like obedient, whatever. Sarim then Batalim alei lagamrei, completely bottle to it, to the whatever, to the agent, to the soul it's talking about, and then Markovale, a chariot to it. Okay, now we are up to B'nai Aliyah. What is a B'nai Aliyah? Which is really the organization that we're running is completely and utterly named after the B'nai Aliyah that we speak about in Tanya. And he mentions Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai as the B'nai Aliyah. And the B'nai Aliyah is so relevant to us. And it's such a trip because when we live with the idea of you read this Adoris, then we are the dirt underneath the toenails of the entire, with a hard skin on the heel of the Adam, of the Adam Kadmon, of the Adam Elyon, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, we're the end of the whole thing, and one bechina that's true, but it's so important to remember the Medrash that we've mentioned many, many times. That when Adam HaRishon was buried, he was folded in half. That's one of the reasons why it was called Ma'aseh Machpelah, from Loshen Kapel. Is the Pashup is that it's doubles with the with their wives, with the Zugim. But there's a drasha that Adam HaRishon was folded in half, which means that his feet went up to even beyond his head. The soles of his feet were the highest part. And that's really meramez to who we are in our generation, and what's available, the level of avoda that is actually available to us. Okay, so the Bnei Eliyahu, which we speak about in the Tanya, he gives you two reasons why they're called Bnei Eliyahu. Number one is because they transform the Choshech into Or, they transform the darkness into light, the Klipa into Kedusha. And number two is they're serving Hashem for what the Tanya calls the Tzorech Gevoya. So let's discuss the first one. And this is the inyan of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai eating chuvim, eating carobs in the cave. A carob is really is just a klipa. You ever eaten a carob? You see what a carob is? You get them in Israel. You have to be careful for the bugs. But when you break it open, there isn't like fruit. The fruit is klipa. And it's the sweetest. It's like eating chocolate, literally. It's like eating chocolate. And inside, all there is just hard stones that you throw away. So you kind of break open. It's like a kind of very hard, like shell pod from a pea kind of thing. Yeah, you crack it open. You throw away the hard seeds in there, and you actually eat the crunchy clipper. And it's literally one of the sweetest of all fruits. And that's the inyan of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that turning the klipa, b'mehapeich, turning the klipa into kedusha, which is the avoider of eating. And that's the avoider of the Bnei Eliyahu. The Bnei Eliyahu are so high that they're not just involved in, it's not just turning the Kedusha into more Kedusha. It's not that their Lima Torah becomes holy and their Tefillah becomes holy and their Tzedakah becomes holy. It's that their whole life is just one shtick Kaddush. They're sitting there with their wife, schmoozing about whatever she wants to schmooze about. Yeah, they're being Mahapech Choshech Le'or. They're driving in their car, going to the grocery store. Yeah, they're Mahapei Choshech Le'or. They're on the water slide with their child. They're Mahapei Choshech Le'or. That's all they are. They're just a light producing machine. And if you ever had the schus of meeting someone like that, which these people are few and far between, you can't help but just get caught up in their avoider, in their love for the Rabbeinu Shlomo, in their love for service. You can't help it. That's the first level. Yeah, that they're so, I suppose, infatuated in love with Hashem that their whole life is about the Rabbeinu Shlomo. From the second they wake up until the second they wake up, including when they're asleep. Literally. So they could be operating a very normal life, but it's just absolutely dedicated to the Rabbeinu Shloim. That's called transforming the darkness into light on a consistent level the whole time. We should be zoichet such a thing. The second thing is that their avoider is what the Rebbe calls letzorech gavoya, for a higher purpose, meaning for Hashem's need, which that's a big controversy in the world right now with Manus and the other chevra, where the whole debate is, does Hashem need us? And my final, having looked into this extensively, it appears to me that until the level of Zeh Ampin, at the level of Zeh Ampin, which is the When we say L'shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu Shchinteh, Zeh Ampin is also called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Shechina is called Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. At that level, then it's absolutely clear that Hashem needs our avoda. He is dependent on us to do the right thing. That's how he set the system up. That in his ultimate anivus, he set the system that the There's what there's called a zivug. the Zivug of Zoin, which is Ze'anpin and Mekeva, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. That Zivug takes Am Yisrael turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Avodah. And that's called Seich Gavoya. To talk about a tzorich beyond that level, according to what I've learned, not in Chabad's time, but from the Ben Ish Chaim, from Rav Hass, and from Arizal, is that you can't say that. You can't say that there's a tzorich yoter gvoa from the yichud of Zoin. But you can't say that there isn't. Meaning that when you go beyond that level, you just can't say anything. There's nothing to talk about in regards to. You just can't talk about that. There's nothing to talk about. Although, see, really, to say that accurately, you can't talk about anything other than Ein Sof. Yeah, meaning that you can talk about everything from below Ein Sof. That's what the Chabad Sfarim say. But the way the Ben Ish Chai speaks, the way I've understood, is that from the level of Zoin above that, anything you speak is basically, I mean, we do speak about those levels at great length, but it's all going to be basically, like it's just inaccurate. So to say that there's a need above that level, according to that school, is not correct. According to the way I understand Chabad in this generation, it seems like the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that this Tzorich Gevoya is actually at a much higher level, even goes into Hashem's essence, whatever that means. I don't really know the Naf Kamina, to be honest, except for the fact that it gets a lot of people angry. That's the only thing I know. That for all intents and purposes, we need to know that Hashem needs our avodah. Needs. Actually needs our avoider, and if we're not Ovid him, then I mean he will, there'll be other people to be Ovid him, but he was, that's what we say when he was meyached his malchus with Am Yisrael. He bound up, what's malchus, what's another word for malchus in English?
Is it a trick question?
No.
I mean, Malchus, by definition, is
Don't say
kingdom.
that. No, don't say that. Well, on our level, if we've got
Oh, no.
if our mind is sorry, if wait, if Chabad is our intellect, and the six Midas, yeah, Chesed, are our emotions. Then what's Malchus?
Like I'm upset, I don't know it.
Yeah, I'm also upset. You have intellect, emotions,
Behavior?
behavior. Behavior. Behavior, thought, speech, and action. So when it says that, when we say that Hashem was meyached his Malchus with us, we're saying that he bound his behavior with us. Meaning that he behaves through us. That means if we're behaving correctly, that means Hashem is having good behavior. If we're behaving incorrectly, then Hashem is being stifled. His self-expression is being stifled. You hear that? That's an amazing idea. Yitzi, you look confused.
No, I'm not confused. You said it. You said it many times, which is if we're speaking Torah, Hashem's speaking Torah. We're making, if we're speaking Lashon Hara.
The opposite, but as we're doing, basically that his behavior he gave over to us, and that's one of the reasons why when you see your children misbehaving, or not just being cheeky, but if you see your children being nasty or horrible, etc., yeah, it's so difficult to deal with because your children are a hemshech of you, and to see behavior that you disapprove of, or that's completely out of character for you, is very difficult to see in your children. And it's funny because you can have children who've got very different personalities to you, and you have to work very hard on coping with that. If you're a very deep person, yeah, and you've got children who are very superficial, and that happens a lot, yeah, then that's very hard. And you have to get over that. You have to, but that's the point. It's not your, because your children are a hemshech of you, if they're not like you, yeah, then that's difficult for you. So you have to work on that. When their behavior is bad, yeah, that's a different level. I mean, that really has to be dealt with. But just the fact that your child is not like you is something that needs to be worked out in your own koiches and nefesh, because that is your expression. You know what I mean?
Yeah, is this fair to say where, let's say, like if our children are misbehaving, then we want to reprimand them, we want to fix it, we want to teach them, fine. But when they are behaving, when they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, now as a parent or as Hashem, like what is my goal now? What is my response? What am I trying to do now? This is a good thing. So now do I like now what do I do now?
Well, let me ask you, let's just plug this in. It's a beautiful question. When your child behaves correctly, what do you get?
Naches.
Nachas. Well, what's the full phrase there? Nachas.
Naches.
Nachas
Ruach, okay.
ruach. Yeah, we've said this before. What's ruach? Ruach is your emotions.
Yeah.
What's nachas? You know what nachas is? Nachas is like when the big fat old man sits down in the mikveh and you hear him go, ah. Nachas is like a release. That's why you get nachas. That's why it's called nachas ruach, because your emotions express themselves in behavior. When your child's behavior is good, your emotions go, ah. They're released. That's what emotions want to do. Emotions constantly want to express themselves in behavior. So when you're behaving correctly, then you have that feeling within yourself. You have that feeling of nachas and manucha and peace within yourself. But you also get that when your children are behaving. That's why it's called nachas ruach. That the your emotions, being the ruach, get to experience their nachas, their shabbos,
Really.
so to speak. Gets to let go. So when your
Okay.
children are behaving well, you've got a few options. You can just get out of their way. You can encourage them to keep behaving well. You can notice that they behaved well and sit there and quell over it. You can thank the Rebbeinu Shloim that you're zoicha to children that are behaving well. You can, whatever you want to do, you can do. It's just, that's another aspect of life. But you should definitely celebrate it. And you should definitely, the way I try to do it, I remember I have two people in my life, well, I'm not so connected to anymore, two big people who were both Rebbe figures in my life. And one of them would give me compliments all the time. Yeah. I mean, not just me, everyone. He's constantly complimenting everyone, like deeply, like really genuinely. Yeah. There's only one compliment I remember from him when he was genuinely like absolutely blown away by something I did, by me, whatever it was, yeah. And he was genuinely overwhelmed by that. And that I remember. There's another man in my life who never gave anyone any compliments. And he gave, I remember, I think he gave me maybe three compliments in total. Yeah, simple, like little ones, like side points, like something like, it's good that you learned Tanya, like that. And that made more of a roshem with me. So this is a dangerous, it's a dangerous avoider, but when your kids do something that isn't particularly good, yeah, I say it. And when they do something that is good, I say it very much. But that means that, see, if you're constantly saying that, if they hand you a piece, if they hand you a colouring that your 6-year-old did, and it's really, he could do much better than that, and you're like, wow, that's fantastic, amazing there, then your compliments just lost all their power. Whereas when he hands you a very mediocre piece of colouring, and you're like, yeah, you could do better than that. That's not so great. And then he hands you a good and trying to encourage him to do it better. Then when he does it better, to give him a wow, yeah, then you have to be, it's a dangerous avoider. But if you give too many compliments, your compliments become cheap and you lose the ability to give compliments. So it's like tipping with people who work for you. Give too many tips and then it just becomes expected and there's no such thing as a tip anymore. So you have to be very clever with tips and with compliments as well. You can't lose the koich of complimenting. You can't. That would be tragic.
There's somebody I know that gives really good compliments, and I'm on to him, and I figure out how he does it, and I called him out on it. What he does is he's sincere, but it's almost he kind of is talking to himself.
Go on.
I know it sounds crazy, but like he'll say something like, and it's so genuine and so thoughtful, and after a while, I'm like, are you talking to yourself? It's like kind of.
Well, go on, give me for example. That sounds really
Well, I
interesting.
don't want to give an example because then I'm going to start complimenting myself, but. If for Rabbi Shmuel, for you, I would, if you're complimenting somebody, just tell, it's amazing how much energy you're giving. And, you're just so thoughtful in what you're saying, so much attention to detail, and you don't let anything go uncovered, whatever it is, but you're just talking about yourself. But it sounds so good, but it's because it's really what you believe. But anyways, I just thought it's kind of a joke and I'm kind of saying something real. I'm not sure where I'm going with it.
That's really interesting. And look, to give compliments is extremely important, but to make sure that your compliments are worth something, like that if you hold back your compliments and your kid does something good and you look at your kid and you're like this, that really counts. It makes a big difference. As opposed to, like, I'll tell you another story, which is funny. Just the way personalities are. We'll finish on this. Is that maybe Eliezer was even there? Eliezer, do you remember Ari Leib Dvorkin? Do you remember? Were you there at his Sheva Brochas? Were you there? I don't think you were in Leib Yisrael then. Maybe you were. I don't know. Yeah. So at his Sheva Brochas, his father-in-law was like this, nice guy from Manchester. Yeah, Manchester, England. Manchester Mancunians are very like real. Good, they're good, whatever, good people, very, but very real, very, very real. Yeah, no shtick. And Rav Chaimowitz, who was the Rebbe there, is an American, a New York American, like larger than life kind of figure. And somebody made the chulent there. And I just remember this so clearly. He Rav Chaimowitz tasted the chulent. And I remember him looking at the guy who made it, and he was like this. Like that, yeah. And this little Mancunian guy tasted the shit, looked at the guy, and went, not bad, not bad. It was like no, they were next to each other. It's like the way of complimenting. Either way, you can do however you want to compliment. Just make sure that you make your compliments count. Anyway, so I can't remember how we got onto that, but the Tzorech Gevoya means that the Bnei Eliyah are serving Hashem for his need. They are serving Hashem for his desire to have a yichud that with a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina, which is how he expresses himself. Think about it like this: like we just said that the behavior is the expression, the zivug. Yeah, the zivug, the intimacy between Ze'anpin and Nuk, that is the expression, the release of the seed, is that's called a nachas ruach. That's a release. That's what's called a release. That's a release. And
So
that,
we,
yeah, go on.
we want to release our emotions. This is a very healthy thing.
100%. You can't not release your emotions. If you don't release, your whole goal of the world is releasing your emotions in healthy behavior. If you don't let your emotions express themselves through behavior, you will end up like this. And eventually the steam will come out your ears, and your wife and kids most likely are going to get it. That's how it usually works.
Yeah, makes sense.
Tzorech Gevoya means that, listen to the Loshon in the Tanya, what he says. It's amazing. He says the Tzorech Gevoya. Loi kedei le dabka bo yisbrach, not so as to be davik to him yisbrach, bilvad exclusively le ravois nafsham et samal Hashem, to quench their thirst for God. That's not why they're being over the Shem. Ex it, not exclusively. Like halavai, we would be serving Hashem because we have this thirst for God, and that's really the reason why we are potentially that. Baruch Hashem, we got back to the beginning. Why we are potentially able to go so high. Because the tzaddik, the Bnei Eliyah, is not worried about his desire to be davik to Hashem. He's worried about what Hashem really needs. We don't have a desire to be davik to Hashem. So now we can be just concerned about with Hashem's needs. And that's why we are called the Bnei Eliyah. That's why we are, in our generation, have the potential to becoming Bnei Eliyah, because we don't have the distraction of a spiritual thirsting anymore. So it comes out that what the whole world has said is the most negative thing about our generation, that we have no spiritual longing anymore, is a purposeful manipulation of creation that Hashem did. A kavana that Hashem had to take us to the point where we are, where now we can be over to Hashem because he needs our service. And that's why this organization is called Bnei Eliyah, because we're so caught up in our cutness, thinking we're so pathetic because we've got no tshuka to serve God anymore, because we've got no spiritual connection anymore. Everyone's so depressed because of that, and that's the greatest simcha, that now we can march, now we can serve the Bnei Shalom just for him. What do I get out of it? I'm gonna do what I can to have something because I'm a human being. I need a little bit of geschmack, whatever. But the greatest schus that we have is that Hashem stripped away our ruchnius tainug. That's the greatest schus that we have. Now we can really serve. It's not our fault. And at the end of everything, like I said, one site that I know, he said that the telephone, what do you call that? The mobile phone was the end of Das. He was wrong, because the smartphone came out. And whatever the mobile phone took away of Das, there must have been some left, because the smartphone came along and sucked away everything. So at the lowest level of where we were, with all the distractions and with all the distance from Hashem and Yiddishkeit and MS and whatever, yeah? And then Hashem opens up the internet. And then Hashem puts the internet not only in our houses and our offices, but in our hands and our pockets. In our cars, in every place we are. So how it just the ruchnia he took away, and it was all b'kavana, so that now we can be oivid on the level of Bnei Eliyah. That's mamash, that is the chiddush of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and that is the Torah that resonates. There's never been any Torah that I've ever heard that resonates more deeply with the essence of who I am, that we are in this privileged position to serve the Bnei Shalom at the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And that's why Adam folded over, so his feet, who are us, ended up going back to his head. And if you, this is my chiddush, I just thought about this, but if you were to think about it, I can't do this, yeah? But imagine if you were to put your feet back. Let me just get a picture of 1 minute. Person.
Here, Michael can do it really quickly. Michael, go for it.
Let me see.
The pretzel.
Oh, if there's a picture of a woman doing it, that's annoying. Wait a minute. It's exactly what I wanted to see, but that's a woman. I don't want to show you that. Go on. But if you, oh, that's so annoying. Imagine if you were to stand up. Yeah, Michael, you want to try this afterwards, yeah? If you want to just stand up and bend down so far that your chest touches your knees. Look where your head ends up. It doesn't reach your feet. Your head goes down to around your ankles, just before your ankles. So this is my chiddush. Yeah, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but it's a nice way to think. That when Adam Rishon folded back up, his feet went beyond his head, higher than his head. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. So it comes out from this, what we've just said, the most distressing thing that you will ever hear as a Jew is when someone says, Halavai, we would have Yiras HaOynesh. As I've said so many times. Halavai, we should have Yiras HaOynesh? Baruch Hashem, finally, after 3,337 years, or after 5,785 years, however you want to have done it, we don't have Yiras HaOynesh anymore. Finally, we're free and we don't have Avos HaSchar anymore. We don't care about Gan Eden anymore. Yeah, now all we need to do is stop caring about the geschmack. You have a geschmack, enjoy the geschmack, be over the shem with everything you've got. But now this is the last thing, and this is what I think, that I've said this again many times, is that why you guys were ready for this message is because you guys in LA have been zochet to the Mishmah, which most people aren't. And after a couple of years, you were already realizing that you're right. I don't even care about a ruchnius geschmack. It, you know, we'll do it, we love it, it's great, whatever, yeah, but I don't really care. I just want to serve. That's what we're all ready to hear. We just need to hear it. And then everybody, whenever I give this message over to people, everyone's like, yeah, 100%. Bezrat Hashem. So that's Bnei Eliyahu. Okay, we got to Gimel. Next week, we'll attack Gimel, Bezrat
That
Hashem.
was great. Well, I just didn't understand one more time why I it was beautiful. I mean, you really. God willing, I'm going to listen to it again. If you can please post it, just one more time. The feet. So the head of Adam Arishan does not hit. The head doesn't hit the feet.
I've got to run. Thank you, Shkoyach.
Okay, bye, Michael. I'm just going to try and find a
Bye,
picture.
Michael.
I thought it was a man bending over this time, as opposed to just someone bending
And
over.
how that connects to that final message you just left off with.
This is like my. I was adding a little bit of a. Oh, here we go. There we go. 1 minute. Wait a moment. Share screen.
Because this message of Bnei Aliyah that you're sharing right
Is
now, I don't see it screaming in any of the publications you put out, or it needs to be stressed more. Because, like you said, like when I hear that message, I actually have that ruach, that nachas ruach, where I'm like, ah, thank God. Like you say that, it's not about me; it's about bigger than me, and I can
That's
relax. So,
the That's exactly what we say the whole time. Do you see the picture here?
unfortunately, no, I don't.
Oh no.
Oh, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes.
Oh, I just turned it off. Wait a minute.
Okay, I see your screen.
See it?
Yeah.
Meaning that his head just comes, if he bends his head down, his feet are still low, which means when Adam got bent over in two, and he got buried in that configuration. His feet were actually higher than his head. His feet went
Okay.
beyond his head.
And therefore what?
No, that was just my. It's not just the shtick that I was saying.
But what's the feet represent versus the head?
Sorry. We're the feet. Our generation. We're called Ikvah the Mashiach. We're the heels of the Mashiach. We're the feet. I'm sorry. I thought
But
you.
how do we know that we're Ikvah to Mashiach? I thought people 500 years ago might have thought that.
Our generation is called the Ikvah the Mashiach because we know
Says who?
the 6,000 years and we're at 5,785. So we're at the end of the whole thing. So we're called the heels of Mashiach. We're called the heels of the generation. So the Avos were the head, you know, Moshe was the head, or Adam was the head, however you want to do it. And it went down and down and down to us who are considered the heels, but the heels go back beyond the head. And Yitzi, number one, we have spoken about this many times, but the message that we're giving over the whole time, which is it's just about avoda. It not talking like that. I mean, it's just about being over the Shem, just about Hashem, just about service, not about us. That's the inyan, and it's only our generation that are really capable of hearing this, because until then there was so much schar and oinesh that we couldn't get beyond that. But now we live in this privileged situation that we're able to go beyond Schar and Oinesh, and that's the schus.
Well, who says that? Is it Lubavitch Rebbe says that the significance of Adam Arishon being buried like that
No, he. I mean, maybe he did. I didn't hear it from him. I heard it from. I heard it from. I didn't hear it from Rabbi Brazil, Rashmul Brazil. I heard him say it. But I knew it before that. I can't remember where I heard it
Say
from.
what? The significance of Adam being buried is like the sign of how we're going to end the world. I mean, not the end the world, but
Meaning that we went back to the height. It doesn't look like it, yeah. But we don't care about the Pshat. We care about the Pnimius. We are now at the Madrega where we can be over the Shem on the Bechina of Bnei Eliyahu, which is on the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And that was the Chiddush of the Bal. That was the Chiddush of the Babaji Rebbe. He was screaming that. He screamed that for decades, literally decades. And that's why Rav Manis is stressing the whole time that Hashem needs our avoda. Because if you don't feel that Hashem needs your avoda, then the game doesn't begin. Because you're the point of it. Well, if he doesn't need you to serve him, then you're it. That's the whole point of Tzorech Gevoya. That's what it means for Hashem's need. Because without that, the game doesn't start.
Why are you saying Shimon Bar Yochai is at that level? Because he was in a cave for so many years?
No, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The whole story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai began with him saying the Tzorech Atzmam.
Got it.
Because they did it all for themselves, it was a machlokas with him, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and he said because they were building the bridges and the shukim and the bathhouses for themselves, that was gerua, that was terrible, even though it had toelis, because he was kulu panimi, he was kulu lishma. All he cared about was that you were being over to Shem with taharas halev and with emes and with him in mind, with Rabbeinu Sholem in mind. So that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and that's called Bnei Eliyah, and that's who we are. That's what we have access to. We need to scream this to everyone because everyone, it resonates so deeply with everyone. And I'm telling you, every single person you mention this to, there's a couple of people like very stark, like who completely shakur in their shitas and craziness, yeah. But any half open person, when they hear this whole Torah, yeah, their heart opens up and they become ready to serve. But they forget again, so you need to go over it again, 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 again. Okay, chazak v'yamatz, chevre.
Thank you.
Shkoyach, zagazin.